Blog Talk Radio.
Applewhite, and I'm calling you from the student to teacher to student radio show on the internet this morning. We have a fantastic array of information for you regarding adults, working adults with disabilities in the workforce today. We are so pleased to be able to bring you some very valuable information, a way to take a very intense look at what adults are dealing with in the world of being labeled as disabled. We're looking at all kinds of things. I mean, as in my particular practice as a rehabilitation counselor, I work with people who have what we call the non-visible disabilities. So everything from depression, anxiety, to PTSD, to cancer, to epilepsy, to things that you cannot see on the outside. So there's disability that's visible, and then there's disability that's non-visible. And both of them are accountable. Some years ago, the Americans with Disabilities Act changed. That was legislation, for those of you who are not aware, that was legislation that was designed to protect those adults with disabilities and help them actually integrate into the schools and into the workforce. Well, they had to redefine the definition of disability in order to be more inclusive of those that had disabilities that were not visible. So if you have one of those non-visible disabilities or know someone, this is a great show for them to listen to today, because we open up your mind, we enlighten you about the factor that disability is not necessarily what you see with your naked eye, and also the factor that disability, simply in simple terms, if you just break down the word, means that there's a dis in one of your abilities, or maybe many of your abilities. However, the dis or the omission of one ability only means that we find an alternative route. We look for alternatives. You have a destination, you're going down the highway, as an example, you're going down the highway to get from point A to point B. And there's a detour. So you take the detour in order to still get to the same point, the same destination. It's the same thing with a person with a disability. the goals, the plans that they had in their life may change, especially in the instance of someone who has not been disabled all of their life and all of a sudden becomes injured. So they take this detour just to get back on the highway again. But they have to look for an alternative. And so that's what we encourage people to do at White Apple Institute, is to look for that detour, those alternatives, still a way to stay on the path, the pathway to success in the workforce, a pathway to success in life. Like I said, this is a pretty intense look because we have a guest this morning that's coming on, and her name is Patricia Edwards. She's been on our show before, but we didn't have enough time to really get more in depth with who she is and what kind of work she's doing out there in the community. She's also a certified rehabilitation counselor and basically a mentor to many of us here at White Apple Institute. And she's an advocate. She works for the Arizona Bridge to Independent Living. And she works with advocacy issues and has a wonderful workshop that she'd like to tell us all about this morning. And I believe she is online, so I'm going to bring her on so we don't run out of time this morning. Good morning. Patricia Edwards, are you there?
I am here, Danita. Thank you for having me.
Morning. Well, this is your dear old Professor Applewhite calling you from Arizona, and you are located here in Arizona, too. This is your headquarters.
Yes,
right?
It is.
Yes. Now, our show is broadcasted globally. That means that people can listen to our show everywhere from China to Brazil or wherever. Most of our audience, our 30,000 or so listeners, are pretty much located within the United States and Canada, some in Mexico. And so that's a North American content. So English is usually the first language there, so they can understand. But there will be times that I'll interject while we're talking to make sure that I clarify for our listeners that are that speak English as a second language. Is that okay?
Certainly. We want everybody to understand.
That's right. That's right. And of course, as we get into such an intense and sensitive topic, especially in a sense of you and I, both as rehabilitation counselors and dealing with, unfortunately, the negative labels of disabled, and hopefully in our work for so many years, changing that label to a more positive outlook. And I hope that you'll be able to shed some light on our listeners so that they'll leave this show today with a really great feeling about not only themselves, but about anyone that they touch in their life that has a visible or non-visible disability. So as we begin, what I'd like to know, tell us a little bit about your background again and your disability, if you don't mind.
Not at all, because I have both a very visible disability. I'm a quadriplegic. I've been a paraplegic since I was 13 when I got polio, 4 years before the vaccine. And about 30 years ago, it became progressive. And till now, I'm pretty much dependent on others for most activities of daily living. But
let's define for our listeners out there, if you don't mind, Patricia, when you say paraplegic, so that they're clear on what you mean, what the term entails.
Still use arms back in the day. Now they really are, one arm has minimal range of motion strength, but the other doesn't.
Right. And so is this progressive?
Yes, it is.
Yes, yes. Most of the time we do find some progression with paraplegia and quadriplegic individuals. And our veterans, many of our veterans who are coming back from war have been shell-shocked or injured in their spine and have many of the same challenges as far as limitation in mobility. And so it looks like you're going to tell us that, so what? Okay, you got the limitation, and you went forward, didn't you?
Yes, but I wasn't finished. I also have, from, I guess, early childhood on, what's known as dyslexia. I am a fairly intelligent person, but I can't spell for diddly. Read very slowly. Many people I know don't have to. I have to. Let me start that sentence over again. I have to pore over a book in order to get the meaning deeply within me. A friend of mine whose daughter is also dyslexic said that what happens is once you learn your rules, you're okay. But it takes, you have to really know the rules that are operative. And with American spelling, there are no rules that are always operative. When I see a word, I don't see it, I hear it. And so phonetic doesn't help me. And has been probably a harder disability to adjust to than the paralysis.
I'm glad you elaborated on that, because there are a lot of students that come to us with dyslexia issues, especially from 20-something years ago when the diagnosis was not really that prevalent.
That's true. I remember when I learned that that's what was wrong with me. I was at a meeting. My husband and I were at a meeting. We were the leaders in the church, and one of the other leaders talked about how his daughter had just been diagnosed with dyslexia. I was about 35 or 40, and my husband and I looked at each other and said, "Oh, so that's what's been going on all these years."
Wow.
Shame. That's connected with not with knowing you're intelligent, but not being able to do simple things that require that kind of skill. I took an interest test when I was in college, and I was at about the third percentile, which means that 97% of the people on the planet are more willing to do clerical work than I am. I just am not that sort of thing, and it makes me feel very stupid. And when I feel stupid, I feel unworthy. When I feel unworthy, I feel really bad about myself. So of the two disabilities, the dyslexia has had a more profound effect on me. I also
That interesting? And that's the disability that we don't see.
That's true. That's what you said made me bring it up. I also have some life-threatening disabilities. I'm a cancer survivor. I had a bilateral mastectomy about 6 years ago. And with what I learned was I was one of those people that was above taking pills. I didn't want to be dependent on pills, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when the drug they gave me was to prevent the reoccurrence of cancer, I believe in the 5 years that I was taking that drug, I didn't miss more than a dozen times. And I also, if I'm going to take one pill, I'll take all of the prescribed stuff that they've given me.
Why not? Right, yes. I understand.
I wouldn't have done it if I hadn't been scared out of my mind with that big C word. Yes. I'm also diabetic. I'm borderline overweight, obese, which is also life-threatening. Let's see.
You are definitely telling us a lot about yourself and a lot about other people that are dealing with multiple disabilities and still rolling up their sleeves. And did you say, and I want our listeners to really go back, really rewind what you said for a moment, in college. That's the word I want them to, I want that to stick in their minds, because in spite of all of this, you went to college. Not only did you go to college, you finished college.
And I got an advanced degree.
Yes, yes. And that requires faith, applause, okay? I don't know if you heard that applause, but that's it, okay? We
yeah.
applaud you 100% for that. And we applaud you for coming on the show today and sharing this, because it's not easy to share these things with other people, especially openly like this. But you're doing it because other people are going to gain insight. Now,
and
where I want to go to...
One thing I want to share...
Go ahead.
...is have a disability like being paralyzed and in a wheelchair. You can't hide it. With the invisible disabilities, you try like the Dickens to hide it.
Yes. Hide it even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the things that I see a lot with a lot of people with disabilities that are the non-visible ones, they're that shame that you talked about earlier and that feeling of stupidity or guilt or embarrassment, those are heavy feelings. As a matter of fact, I feel that as counselors, we deal with that more than the actual disability itself because of the society we live in.
And that's what my class that I am facilitating deals with.
Tell us a little bit about your class.
Oh, goody. Thank you. I have a teacher, a facilitator, a counselor for most of my adult life, and never in all those years have I found anything that I admired more than this class. It was developed by the University of Montana. I'm getting the address because if anyone out there is interested in finding out about it, it is so good. I want to be able for them to know where to go. So people get your paper pencil out.
All right.
This class is the Living Well with a Disability.
Mm-hmm.
Living Well. Get that Living Well with
yes.
a Disability. It's developed and disseminated by the Research and Training Center at the University of Montana, Missoula, Montana. The Research and Training Center at the University of Montana, Missoula.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Rural Institute that is the disseminator of this program. So
tell us how you're doing with it and how why it's so important to you to facilitate this program.
All right. There are basically two ways people traditionally live with a disability.
Mm-hmm.
They're the, aw, shucks, I'm not disabled. I'm as normal as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Way where you totally deny the disability. And then there's the, I have a disability, take care of me. I am not capable of taking care of myself. This
mm-hmm.
class is the only sane one, in my opinion. It says, I have a disability, I acknowledge I have a disability, and I'm going to get the goodies that I want. It's the learning how to take that detour you were talking about so you still get the goodies you want. The premise is that if you're healthy, the more healthy you are, the more you're able to do. So the goal is not health. The goal is not health. It's being healthy so you can get that which you want.
Mm-hmm.
We just finished the Paralympics. I didn't see anything about it on television, but those people had a goal,
mm-hmm.
and I was fortunate enough to watch the practice of the American wheelchair soccer team, and frankly, I thought the Paralympics was a wimpy kind of thing. Those vicious. They are magnificently skilled. They just are amazing. But they're vicious. They're beautifully vicious, like any other soccer player.
Very competitive, huh?
The testosterone on that floor was absolutely magnificent. I don't know how we did because there's no coverage, but that's a goal that they set.
Well, you know, and that kind of proves the point, too, is that when we're dealing with this issue of disability as adults, that we're dealing with many of the same challenges, many of the same social issues, psychological issues that everybody else is dealing with. We're dealing with the same spirit of competition and the same spirit of depression.
Yeah.
You know, when I look at personal development, Ms. Edwards, when I look at personal development, I see that we're not just talking about people with disabilities. We're talking about everyone. Everyone has that same challenge. Everyone has goals to set. From Paralympics to the actual Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate you bringing that out. Now, you're doing this class here in Arizona at the...
Yes.
You're doing it at Arizona Bridge to Independent Living, is that right?
Yes. And I happen to have their phone number very handy in case somebody wants to know about it. Because
go ahead and share the phone number with us.
I will.
The information, listeners out there, for Living Well with a Disability, the program that Ms. Edwards was referencing from the University of Montana. And they have facilitator training opportunities also. The website is a pretty long website, so let me just ask you to contact whiteappleinstitute.org for more information on that. And also there is a phone number for the BOIM Institute that sponsors the program that she's talking about, which is 406-243-5741. Let's hear more from Ms. Edwards as she's finding the number to Arizona Bridge for Independent Living. And I'm sure wherever you're living in the United States or on the North American continent especially, there are programs like the ABLE, which is the Arizona Bridge to Independent Living program. Next week we'll have another speaker on, Larry Wagner from that organization, that will be sharing more information specifically related to the ABLE program. But for right now, we want to get back into what Ms. Edwards was sharing with us, the number to ABLE, and how you can contact her for more information on this Living Well with Disability program that's going to help you as an adult trying to enter the workforce with a disability, whether you're a veteran or not, and finding some kind of a way, like I said earlier, to still reach your goals. Ms. Edwards, do you have that number?
Yes, I do. 602-256-2245. And I have talked too much about the other thing. Let me tell you about this class, because I've taught goal setting in many, many other facilities, but this one is so comprehensive. The first is that your goals are your goals. One goal may have making friends. One person may have the goal of being an athlete. They're yours. They're individual. So we work the first week on setting a basic goal for the coming week, for the next year or two, for the duration, the 10-week duration of the class. Well, guess what? When you're goal, there are problems. So the second week, we talk about the problems. We talk about potential problems and how you get around them. And then the third, whenever you're trying to do something that's difficult, out of the box, there's frustrations. So then we talk about how to deal with the frustrations and the need to have peer support. There's a good coach who encourages you and the bad coach that discourages you. And the of both of those words is courage. Courage is what helps you overcome the frustration. Courage and patience. And then the fourth week, sometimes depression goes all the way to, or frustration can fall into depression. And
yes.
then you need a professional counselor. But there are tools that you can...
Okay. Sorry, a little background noise here, and it will. Okay,
yeah.
We're coming back to you, Michelle. Michelle, because of the time frame, and we have another caller, a couple of callers online, and I'd like to make sure that if they have any questions.
Give me 2 minutes, 1 minute.
All right,
then
we're going to
talk about
healthy
communication, and especially when talking to medical people. It's just like the invitation. You tell them what.
We have a few more minutes left. We have a 209 number calling in. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite.
Good morning. It sounds like a familiar voice. One of our loyal listeners.
Yes, I was listening online. This is Kim from San Francisco.
Wonderful. One of the board members for White Apple Institute. I thought so.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Oh, absolutely. It's always good to be on your show and hear your callers. So I'm glad the show is going on.
Did you hear Ms. Edwards, the words that she used, one that stuck out just predominantly throughout the conversation, and she said it again, she alluded to it, was courage.
Yeah.
Any questions for Ms. Edwards on any of the things that she said this morning? Any comments, reinforcements?
I would just say in terms of a reinforcement that the word that you talked about, courage, is important because when you do have a disability, others never think about courage. They're more in tune and aligned in what's going on in their day because they're functioning. But when we have someone that has a disability, it's so much courage needed just to even talk to people about what's wrong. So
yeah.
I liked when she spoke about that earlier, that it took time to be able just to even talk about it. But I think once you surpass that, the achievements that she has made, such as yourself, with all the injuries that has occurred with you, to be able to achieve the success of completing education, something that many of our children are not doing now. And even some of those with ability, they are not completing as well. So when you go back to courage, I mean, what more can you say? You know, many will never get the courage. But if they look at someone with a disability, they might just inherit a lot of courage when they see what you go through just to make it day to day.
Well, thank you. And those are some very encouraging words. And we're hoping that, I believe that we're all students and teachers. And we're hoping that what people will get from this show, and especially from people like Ms. Edwards coming on, and hopefully she will come on again and share some things with the Living with Well with Disabilities workshop, that they will find a sense of encouragement to go forward, whether they have a visible or non-visible disability, and find that courage in her words. Ms. Edwards, are you there now?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to close out our show here? We have a couple of minutes left, and we'd like to hear some more words from you in closing out our show this morning.
Okay. One of the things that I wanted to say is I have used the system. There is no shame in using all of the things that are available to people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And as I have used the system, I am able to serve the system. If it weren't help that I had gotten, I'd be in a nursing home sucking my thumb or something. Because the system was there for me, I am able to be a great benefit to other people. So
you certainly are, and we thank you so much for being part of this show this morning. Promise us, please, to come back on and maybe consider doing some of that Living Well with Disabilities, facilitating that on the show for us so that others can really gain some insight in that. We appreciate all of our listeners out there and hope that the show has been for you. And thank you so much again, Ms. Edwards. and Kim and all of our other callers. Can't get to all the callers on the switchboard this morning, but we certainly appreciate you. We appreciate the people that have participated in chat this morning. And this is Professor Applewhite signing out and saying much love and peace to you. Thank you so much. We're closed with Wes Ricks from Two Worlds.